My colleagues who have gone before me to lend my support to this appropriations bill 2010-2011. Let me take this opportunity to thank the residents of Catherine Southeast for this opportunity they have given me to represent them in this honorable house, and by extension the people of St. Lucia for the opportunity to serve in the capacity as Minister for Communications, Works, Transport and Public Utilities. I must say it is a very challenging ministry, Madam Speaker. It is one where the focus of the country will always be. And I stand proudly here in this honorable house today to give an account of my stewardship as minister for the past couple of years. Madam Speaker, it is very easy for persons to find reasons to criticize, especially when as a government we are moving boldly, strategically and wisely in a direction that is probably considered unprecedented in terms of our developmental agenda. And I speak of the Port of Castries redevelopment, the redevelopment of Uranura International Airport, the construction of a new St. Jude's Hospital, the development of the yachting and cruise tourism sector, the new abattoir, the senior citizens home, and many other projects being looked at by this minister, by this government, and presented in this budget. Now, I've heard members opposite, and I understand, and I will come to this project and to some of these matters as I move along in my presentation. But I want to first of all focus on my constituency, because sometimes we get caught up in the activities of our ministry and lose track of our constituency representation. And so, Madam Speaker, I will outline a number of projects that we have undertaken and some more projects to be undertaken within the constituency of Castries Southeast. Now, Madam Speaker, when I was trying to put this list together, I even surprised myself when I realized some of the things that had been done that I didn't even pay attention to. And I look at the community of Coolytown, for example. We have done several community upkeep programs in there, and presently there's construction of an IT center ongoing. In the Bella community, we have had many community cleanups, and we have also done some road repairs, some footpaths, and retaining walls. In Sandy Fay and Saros, through the Hope project, we have undertaken the construction of a major footpath. I know it is on hold now, but I know as soon as this budget is through, that work will recommence in this area. We have also undertaken some retaining walls and road repairs. In Labe, we have reconstructed the laundry and the reopening of it. Now, people criticize this and they say, but the communities don't need that. You know, I heard a member for Sufre, Madam Speaker, make mention of all the people from Sufre who have televisions at their homes. But the record will show at least 20% of the residents may not have television at their home. And then that is why the bachelor was played on the playing field, that they could have the opportunity to view it and to congregate together. So some persons may think that a laundry is not needed because they can afford all of the things that they have at their home, but not everybody can. And Madam Speaker, that was a campaign promise. When I went there, the people told me, the previous government closed the laundry, we want you to reopen it. And the opening will be soon. We did not connect the water because of the drought situation, but now that is rectified, that will happen. The vector drainage. Behind the supermarket, we have done some major drainage and the roads will be done. The health center road, we have done the drainage. And also major repairs we have undertaken at the vector playing field. And I must tell you, Madam Speaker, for the past 3 years, we have built a new block at the Odsa Primary School, which is a four-story building. We have undertaken major repairs at the Forestier School, and some of it is still ongoing, and now we have completed the Bexar Primary School. In 3 years, three of the five schools in my constituency, we have done major work in this. In the community of Mass, and Madam Speaker, the geographics of my constituency is very challenging. I have a lot of hills and a lot of valleys. So I get landslides and I get flooding and all kinds of problems. Many people living behind the river. In Flosak, we have built a new bridge. In Ketmak, we have built a bridge and a playing field. And this bridge and playing field was financed entirely by the Taiwanese embassy. In Kronland, a road is being constructed there under the Hope Project. That's in the Mon Wush area. And we have had to build many major retaining walls in and around the area because of the flooding situation. Madam Speaker, I've heard much criticism about the Taiwanese project. I've heard that ministers get money that goes into their pockets. I've heard all kinds of accusations, Madam Speaker. But go into Castries Southeast and ask the people the value of the projects that are on the ground, whether it is worth the money that is being spent or not. And Madam Speaker, because members opposite have chosen not to use a facility that is available to them, they want to castigate those who use it. We don't use it for our personal benefit. We use it for the benefit of the people that we represent in the various constituencies. And I will hasten to add, Madam Speaker, when you form relationships with countries who want to dictate to you who should be your friend and who should not be your friend, we should be aware of such relationships. You think it's one they don't want it, Madam Speaker? Their affiliation with China dictates that they cannot accept benefits from China. And nobody can dictate to me in this country, a free democratic country with a democratically elected government, that I cannot use resources that are made available for the benefits of the people of this country. And so, Madam Speaker, when you hear the members opposite talk about money going into the consolidated fund, I challenge them to show $1 of the building of the stadium in Viewport that went into the consolidated fund. And to show $1 from mainland China that went into the consolidated fund for the building of the psychiatric hospital, now the wellness center. So, Madam Speaker, when you hear the members opposite speaking, they must come to this honorable house and give the people the factual information, not what is politically conducive or expedient for them, but what is the truth. The truth is embassies don't usually put money into the consolidated fund. They can if they want to, but they are not obligated to. And I remember for Henry not speaking about the French embassy and what they did. And I know that many embassies, even the last project that was done in Anslory, the fisheries complex by the Japanese, did that money go into the consolidated fund? So to try and mislead the public, because the leader directs his members that you cannot accept anything from Taiwan, that is not our fault. That's not our fault, Madam Speaker. That is up to them. And they are depriving the people of their constituency a direct benefit because of a policy that is dictated by a foreign government. How sad, Madam Speaker, in these difficult economic times, that funds are made available to the constituency for developmental projects. And here you have a set of representatives denying the people of some of the basic amenities that they need on the basis of political policy. Every political policy is supposed to be used for the benefit of the people that you represent. And anything that is not to their benefit is repressive and oppressive to them. And so the policy, the policy of the Labour Party, Madam Speaker, on China and Taiwan is a policy that is oppressive to the people of St. Lucia. And I challenge them, before, Madam Speaker, show me the grassroots project that the Chinese did for the 9 years that they were in St. Lucia. Yes, they built a big stadium, and that is a welcome gift to St. Lucia. They started the psychiatric hospital, and Madam Speaker, if the money was in the consolidated fund, when we came in there, we would have received the balance for the completion of the hospital. But it's because it never went into the consolidated fund. That is why it had to take the Taiwanese government to come in and complete the process. So don't try to mislead the people of this country into believing that, you know, we are receiving money. And I challenge the opposition, Madam Speaker. They have good quantity surveyors. They know how to inflate projects. I can take them on a tour of my constituency and let them value the projects that I have done with the Taiwanese allocation and make a determination whether we have spent the money in the constituency or whether it has gone in our pocket. Madam Speaker, I continue. The cul-de-sac river was desilted. In Babicote, we are constructing a port. And Madam Speaker, many governments before me, many ministers before me, promised the people of Badni and Babicote a port. And we couldn't get somewhere to build it. But we came up with a very innovative plan where we were able to build a port, half of it on pillars, and put a community center below on the suspended part of it. And I would invite members opposite to come and visit it one of these days so that they can see the value of the Taiwanese dollars. Madam Speaker, I need to move on. The Chope Road repairs have been done there. In Fomage, in Lakwa, we've had major landslides, and all of these projects have been adequately addressed. But Madam Speaker, in terms of what we are looking at for the future, and I could go on and list out projects that were funded. These projects were funded by the Taiwanese embassy. Some of it is played on NTN. Some of it we have not even filmed. Because we cannot even keep track. And Madam Speaker, you know what is good about this? Is that it employs the little people of the constituency. The people who not qualify to get a project under the Ministry of Communications and Works because there are certain requirements they would have to meet, you can facilitate those people through the project funded by the Taiwanese Embassy. And Madam Speaker, that is the benefit to the people of St. Lucia. And Madam Speaker, the member for Supre has accepted three invitations and he has been on the program to address the opening of Taiwanese projects in Supre. But every time the day comes, he says he has a doctor's appointment and he doesn't show up. Madam Speaker, new project. We are looking this year and moving into the next year, the Max Forestier Link Road. Forestier is a dead end. If anything happens to the road, which almost happened during the last set of heavy rains we had about a year and a half ago, the community will be completely cut off. And so for this reason, there is need to link the two communities together. And that is a project I hope to undertake during this financial year. The Tiroche Plainfield project and the FIFA Gold project in Bexar. Now I remember, Madam Speaker, some people said that Bexar is not prestigious enough to house the FIFA Gold project. And I remember I had to ask them, so Catherine Southeast is good enough to have the rubbish dump, but it is not good enough to have a gold project for the young people. And they wanted to put it at Union. Madam Speaker, take a drive up to Union today and see what transformation has taken place at Union. What was supposed to be a football field? You mean so much land they have all over the place. The previous administration decided, and they're talking about agriculture. And the shadow person for agriculture will speak and tell you about agriculture. But agriculture was being destroyed to set up a playing field. Today, it houses a tissue culture lab. And you see the orchids up there, Madam Speaker. I know you love flowers. And I know that anybody who goes there would not even believe when they are inside that they are in St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, the tilapia farms, they are being set up and St. Lucia will be on a growth path in the agricultural sector in truly diversifying from the core crop of bananas into other areas. And so, Madam Speaker, when they said Bexar was not good enough to have the FIFA Gold project, but I want to assure them that this is the best location because it is kind of central. And Flore can come up there, Genry, and the persons in the Catrice Basin. Whereas if it was up north, the very traffic congestion to get there is a problem. Because, Madam Speaker, Bexar remains the crossroads of St. Lucia's development. And it creates great opportunity to link the north and the south in terms of the development of this country. Madam Speaker, I also intend to set up 4 children play areas. And I heard the member for Supre said that the people in Supre don't have anywhere to sit down. That is because Supre was neglected for 9 years by the Labour Party when they represented Supre. And so, that is why we have so much work to do in Supre. And I agree with the member. The roads that were damaged in Supre were damaged before my time. The Esperas Road was bad before my time, Madam Speaker. And Gewas didn't even have a road. Now, Madam Speaker, the member said that he took me to Gewas. And I know when I took the member to Gewas, he told me I've never been that far. But The facts speak for itself. Madam Speaker, the farmers could not believe when we made the promise. There are no houses up in Jaywash, Madam Speaker. But some of the best farms in St. Lucia is in that area. And when I went there and I saw the plight of the farmers, I gave them the assurance that we would do something about the road. And Madam Speaker, the red car can drive up there now. Because we have delivered a road for the farmers of this country. A road that was, they don't have a road, Madam Speaker. They have something that looks like a road. When you are passing in a vehicle, if you had a four-wheel drive, and that's why the ref had never gone up there, because his vehicle couldn't go up there at the time, Madam Speaker. But now he can drive up there. In fact, when we went there, Madam Speaker, we had to park halfway down the hill with a four-wheel drive and walk up to the top today. And we hear the members opposite talk about victimization. Madam Speaker, the member for Derry South, for Nikud South, is still suffering today because of the road condition. And the East Coast Road, this section between Canals and Nikud, was hit by the previous administration because, and I believe, Madam Speaker, it was because of political reasons, they cut it on the boundary of Nikud North and Nikud South. And they pick the end from Buford going down and from Bexford going up, and they keep the two Nikud and Jerry so, and we are doing it. And I heard the member, I'm glad you know it cannot be finished in 3 years. Because it is being done by a contractor brought into this country by the Labour Party. But the Alan Buster Highway, Madam Speaker, remains a project that every worker in the ministry tells you this is one of the most effective projects implemented in this country. Ahead of time and within budget. That's right, 12.2. And Madam Speaker, I will come to this as we go along. And so the member spoke about not having play areas. Through the Taiwanese funded project, I've ordered 4 play areas, play parks, to set up in different locations in the constituency. And it's available for you in Supre. If you do not allow your leader to lead you in the wrong direction and use the things that are beneficial to the people. Madam Speaker, I heard the member from Nikud South speak about interactive whiteboards for the schools through the Taiwanese embassy support. I have ordered 5 interactive whiteboards. 2 of them have been placed in schools, and the other 3 will be placed as soon as the resource rooms are available. So every school in Castries Southeast will have an interactive whiteboard. Not secondary schools, you know, Madam Speaker. Primary schools, so that from primary schools our children will have the opportunity to develop and to have what is available to the more elite in the society. And Madam Speaker, that is the value of affiliation with a government who understands the plight of the average person. And I see the member for Supre watching me with admiration. I know, Madam Speaker, he doesn't want to say it, but the Taiwanese made the same available to the schools in his area. In Buto, the one you did attend, the presentation, you said you were sick and you went to the doctor. That's the one. Madam Speaker, the Mallow Road will be tackled this financial year. The Four Club Road in Lakwa and the country village road in Bexton. Now, Madam Speaker, members opposite will hear all of this and they'll think I'm using all the resources of the Ministry of Communications and works in my constituency. Most of these projects are financed by the Taiwanese fund. And so That will do sucrose very well. You need to use some of it. Madam Speaker, in the Mac area, we have built 3 bridges. 2 of them, one fully financed by the Taiwanese and one partly financed joint venture with the ministry. Madam Speaker, when I look at the value of this project to the people that I represent, I feel very good, Madam Speaker. And I wish the Taiwanese would increase the allocation from 1 million to 2 million, because what would happen in the constituencies that we represent, by the next 2 years, there would be nothing to be done again. Madam Speaker, so much for the constituency. The people of Castries Southeast know they have a representative who understands them. Madam Speaker, we built 4 houses for this year for underprivileged families within the constituency. All of that. I mean, Madam Speaker, when I see the things that are available to the people and they are being denied that by their representative, the representative opposite, Madam Speaker, has been depriving their constituencies of much needed infrastructure, much needed help. Some of them, Madam Speaker, they benefit from it indirectly. The member for Castries East, I see just walking in here. He usually accuses me, Madam Speaker, of saying that I let the that I allow them some other shadow rep to come and build the project. But if you are elected to represent the people and benefits are available to the people and you refuse to accept it, then somebody else ought to accept the benefits on behalf of the people. This is not about us as representatives. This is about the people, Madam Speaker. And we have to look after the interests of the people who elected us. You think the people care about whether money goes into the consolidated fund, whether it is from China, Taiwan, or Japan? What they want is for you to represent them. And if you know there's anything, report it to the Integrity Commission. Report it to the Integrity Commission and let them deal with it. Now, Madam Speaker, let me move to more substantial issues of this budget. Madam Speaker, you know what is interesting about the opposition? Madam Speaker, this opposition, not just the elected, but the opposition party, they have opposed every major project in this country. Every major project, Madam Speaker. From sugarcane to bananas, they oppose. Rodney Bay Marina and the causeway, they oppose. Madam Speaker, the now home of the famous Rochamel, the causeway that they oppose. I know I don't know my history, but I know about the sugarcane plantations and who owned them. And I know the masters who still believe that they have control of the affairs of this country. I know the masters. They say the fruit never falls far from the tree. And I know them. I know them, Madam Speaker. National Provident Fund, which is now NIC. They opposed it, they demonstrated, they marched against it. But let me tell you, Madam Speaker, since I touched on NIC, Blue Coral, and I heard about wastage. And I heard about it, Madam Speaker. What was the contract awarded for? $16 million. 1/6. The architect is not the one who did the work. Madam Speaker, I have heard these people talk about buildings and talk about wastage and talk about money. Now, let's be realistic about this. There is not one project that I can think of under the Labour Party that did not go into substantial cost overrun. Not just adjustments in prices, you know. Not just a 10% contingency or 20%. This Blue Coral building went up by 91%, Madam Speaker, from 60 million to 40.5 million. Madam Speaker, the shareholders agreed to buy the building at $14 million at 8% interest, and that they would spend $14 million, $15 million to renovate the entire building. Today, the building now is costing us $30.5 million plus the $14 million, and that is at 8% interest. No, Madam Speaker, I am talking about the NIC because this is a consortium of two companies formed between the NIC with Crooked and the Bank of St. Lucia. Where the government gets involved? I was just saying the same NIC that the National Provident Fund, which was opposed, and now is the NIC. What the same funds that were used and wasted? I mean, is it a situation? Now, Madam Speaker, you see, when you set the pattern for things to work, if there's a track, it must follow the track. Trains had to derail for them not to follow the track. Now, I wish that this government had derailed from the track of cost overrun. It would not have cost this country so much, Madam Speaker. But you see, the very first project they undertook, Madam Speaker, they guaranteed cost overrun before it started. And so, it followed them. And I heard the member speak about the hurt at the Prime Minister, the security hurt. The security has, Madam Speaker, $10,000 cost overrun. The contract was issued initially, and I want to know how on God's green earth a security hut back then could have cost $35,000, but it ended up at $46,000. 10 point something. And that is what they say, Madam Speaker. You want it? Go and take it. But this is taxpayers' money, and it is used to enhance the property of somebody else. But Madam Speaker, they tell us go and take it. Madam Speaker, the situation is one where people need to understand. People need to understand what the implication of interfering with the public purse. And I heard them making all kinds of accusations. They're concerned about the Taiwanese money and what it is doing and how it is going. Who is concerned about all of the cost overrun? The $40 million in Rochamel that we are paying for. And you are telling me because 300 people is employed there, it makes it right that $40 million should go down the drain like this? Yes. Financial mismanagement, Madam Speaker. But they have not been, they were not derailed in cost overrun, but they were derailed by the people of this country in 2006 because of the reckless management of the economy of this country, Madam Speaker. It is the people who determine And when the people don't want me, they will say, I don't want you anymore. But I will not fight and say, this is my country and I come in to take it back. I welcome the opportunity, Madam Speaker, to represent the people of St. Lucia. But when they tell me I've had enough of you, I will graciously bow out and say, I am happy for the opportunity you gave me to serve you. But some people believe that they have a God-given right. But that's the massa mentality, Madam Speaker. That's the massa mentality, Madam Speaker. Nobody can speak to me. Nobody can tell me this is my country and I will do as I please. But who are you talking about? Madam Speaker, going back to the subject of the NIC. I have heard them complaining about the poor people's money in NIC. Well, that has implications for the pension. Because if this, and you can rent every square foot of space in that building, and it will not make up the payment of this. Because this is a building that went into 91% cost overruns, Madam Speaker. Another one they did, Madam Speaker. Is the La Place Carinas building. You will rent every square foot of space in there and it still can't pay the rent. Now, Madam Speaker, these persons who tell us they know how to manage the finances of the country. I mean, if you're building a house to rent and the rent cannot pay for it, the money must come from somewhere. I want them to tell me where the rest of the money is supposed to come from to pay for it. And so, Madam Speaker, they oppose the National Provident Fund. They oppose the Roseau Dam. You remember the dam, the dam? You remember some people said dam, the dam? But, Madam Speaker, it is the same dam, the dam that saved us in this last drought that we had there. Had it not been for this Roseau Dam, I wonder where we would have been in this country. I wonder what would have happened to us, Madam Speaker. So, when you see you have leaders and a political party who is not visionary, they could not see the benefits of this project to St. Lucia. All they tell they have to do is to oppose. Now, Madam Speaker, there's a time for everything, you know. I know there's a time to oppose. But because the opposition does not mean you have to oppose everything that is good for the country. Everything. Then the Millennium Highway. And they said some people have tunnel vision. Yes, but it's the same tunnel vision that provided a place for us to establish the new general hospital and the new psychiatric hospital. It was the tunnel vision of somebody who did it. But Madam Speaker, you would think that men would learn from their mistakes. But somebody defines insanity as to do the same thing over and over again and to expect a different result. And how well that characterizes the opposition. They oppose all the good things all of the time. They see the result is the direct opposite of what they say, and they continue down the same path. Now that's the definition for insanity, Madam Speaker. And how well? There's a psychiatric hospital, and maybe some of them need to visit them, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, 9 years of SLP rule in this country. Two ministers of communications and works, and one parliamentary secretary, and they were never able to implement one project as effective as ABH, Alan Buske Highway, the resurfacing that was just done. And I challenge you to show your record on every road that you did in this country. Yes. 40 to cost 14 million 8 years ago. and the ministers of the river hereafter. He said they had to build bridges as if the river hereafter. They were building the road. So when they in Coffee Point, they glow. So when they were building the road, the river wasn't there. And then the explanation, one of the explanations given by a former minister of road for the Supra Beaufort Road was that the stone turned into mud. I never heard stone turning into mud. That was the justification for the reckless spending of the money of the people of this country. And then they want to talk about cost of roads and we not declaring the cost. Madam Speaker, everybody knows, and I can tell them, they have engineers. They have good engineers. On the Southwest Coast Road, the East Coast Road, the VG to Shock Roundabout, the Monye Babono Road, the Jeglo Road, and the Grand Rivière Road, Daniel Rivière in January. Madam Speaker, they gave a contract for $23 million for 8 kilometers of road. You know how much it cost? $54 million. $54 million, Madam Speaker. And I can make it a document of the House, Madam Speaker. It's from the Office of the Director of Audit. It's from the... Yes, Madam Speaker. LDP 1 and 2. Lagan, $43 million. $43,750,000. It ended up at $133,502,557.81. LDP 3, CCI, $23,515,158.93. At the time when this report was prepared, it was at $49,097,319, and there was some claim that was still outstanding. When the final payment was settled, it ended up at $54 million, Madam Speaker. Okay? The worst part of it, Madam Speaker, is the consultant. The consultant was given a job at $7 million. $7 million, Madam Speaker, for consultancy on this project. You know how much he went home with, Madam Speaker? $21,570,585.78. Now, Madam Speaker, that's not all the consultant went home with, you know. The vehicle he was driving was paid for by government outside of that. The toilet paper that he used in the house where he was paid for by the government separate. That was his take-home pay. And you know what he got in return? He got a director award for the shock to VG Roundabout. Madam Speaker, reckless spending, cost overrun, beyond our imagination. St. Lucia is in a deep financial crisis today because, you see, Madam Speaker, Wamundi, who supposed to sauve Aladi, who led by the Mose. Mais nous tenons sept moun à pays ça. Yo pate sav la ten deme. Et yo pate sav en jouba y te kay vin mauvais. Yo te kwe yo te kay toujours là. Pour ça yo kahe le kohan. Because yo kwe yo te kay toujours là, Madame Speaker. But the people of this country fought otherwise. You know, Madame Speaker, it is difficult to govern in this challenging time. And they want to do, Madam Speaker? They want to oppose the airport project. And I heard the member for Supreme. We have the stadium. We have the cricket ground. What do you have to show? as a government. Well, let me tell you about the cricket girl. And I'm asking, because they have other persons to come after me. Tell me how we finance the cricket girl. And tell me why we lost the national lottery authority that we have here. Tell me whether the stadium, the cricket ground, Bosseju, was up in receivership because the government could not make the payment. And whether that was the reason why our national lotteries authority was given over to somebody else to manage for us in order that they could pay the loan. Because, Madam Speaker, I understood there was some rich Arab fella who was down to buy the cricket stadium already. And the Jane administration had to move quickly and strike a deal in order to save the embarrassment of the cricket ground being sold. Yes. Well, tell us what happened to the National Lotteries Authority. Tell us why it was given to the Canadians. Tell us why. Madam Speaker, this government has proven its ability to be a resilient government. Madam Speaker, let me take you through a few lessons from gin to flooding and to drought, from internal turbulence to stability and teamwork. Yes, from civil servant strikes, police, firemen, teachers, Lucilek, Wasco, all of this government has endured. All of this. The worst drought that you can imagine, we have weathered every storm, and we have proven that we have the ability to manage the affairs of this country and to keep things stable. Madam Speaker, things are not as bright as we want it to be. There's always place for improvement. I would always love to see better. But I know, given the global financial crisis that we are up against, we have managed our affairs well enough. And Madam Speaker, I want to come to some issues raised by the member for Catherine. He said, never in the history of this country have any government made $3 on a gallon of fuel. Madam Speaker, when we give information in this honorable house, it must be information that we can substantiate and we can say, yes, it is so. Madam Speaker, he spoke about airlines. Yes, I will come to it. I'm just trying to get the paper. I'm trying to maximize the time. Madam Speaker, let me deal with the airline first of all. You want me to deal with the fuel? Okay, I'll take a minute to get it. Madam Speaker, in the budget speech of the former Prime Minister in Madam Speaker, I need to get this so I can make sure I... 1.5 million, page 19 of the budget address of 1998-99, page 19. Madam Speaker, and I'm quoting from page 19. Madam Speaker, as part of the marketing effort in tourism, government has agreed to make a one-time contribution of $1.5 million to American Airlines. Speech by Dr. Kenny Anthony. But the member is giving us the impression that it is this government who is the one. We don't know how much
the Honourable Member, you have 10 minutes more.
Now, Madam Speaker, I would like to ask for the enactment of Standing Order 3210 to allow the Honourable Member 1 more hour to complete his contribution.
Honourable Member,
Madam Speaker,
we'll take the motion first and then you will give the counter motion. Honourable Member, the question is that we invoke Standing Order number 3210 to allow Honourable Member for Catchy's Southeast an additional 60 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of the contrary opinion, say no. Clerk, let's have a division, please.
We continue our live broadcast
from the House of
Parliament. The member appointment for Catching South is the Honourable Guy Joseph. He has almost completed his hour's presentation and he has requested an additional hour, Mr. Speaker. It looks like we'll have a vote for on this one.
We did Jessica Picasso and Madam Speaker Malay Clapla both are conseillers comme on dit vote oui et comme on dit vote non pour ça déterminer est-ce que ministre Guy Joseph on a Guy Joseph qui a joué un électeur pour ça faire complète présentation. Nous savons que la présentation du ministre déjà, c'est Yon, pour qu'il mentionne plusieurs métiers qui concernent le souverain. Et puis, la première fois, il a commencé à faire ça, qu'il a fait un communiqué, un rapport en détail à ce qui s'est fait dans plusieurs, peut-être presque tous, détails du projet qu'il a fait un communiqué. Et puis, ça, il mentionnait ce qui était principalement important, c'est que l'homme a ses sens. Qui ces projets sont la joindre par le gouvernement à Taïwan. Et puis aussi bien continuer à travailler à ce présentation que le travail ministre a engagé durant un terminé pour pouvoir le représenter pour faire complète présentation.
Of the same budget presentation 1998-99, the consumption tax on unleaded gasoline is set at 317.39 cents. That is $3.17.39. So when members come to this honorable house and try, because people cannot go and verify the facts, they can just come and say what they want, when they want, Madam Speaker. But their own record proves that previous to this government, that other governments have collected in excess of $3 on the consumption tax on fuel. And Madam Speaker, I will not be perturbed by the action of the opposition, because I guess if the fire is too hot in the kitchen, they say you have to get out of the kitchen when the fire gets hot. And so, Madam Speaker, the blatant mismanagement and wastage by a reckless and careless government put this country in a situation. And Madam Speaker, if I go through this budget presentation of 1998-1999. It is amazing. It is just amazing. The number of areas that taxes were increased. They increased taxes, airport service charge, travel tax by 7.5%. Fuel, including gas and diesel, learners permit from 50 to 75. Visitors permit from 30 to 54. Introduce a special $300 license for special vehicles with more than exceed about 3 tons or more. increase the HAT, that's the hotel accommodation tax, in food up to an amount where they could collect $8 million, Madam Speaker. All of this, Madam Speaker, was done the first year after the Labour Party took the reins of government of this country. And it makes interesting reading to see the explanation. Some of the explanations given in this budget speech, Madam Speaker, says that some of these things have not been increased from 1984. It meant that the previous UWP administration had managed the economy of this country so well. They have not increased all of these things. 1 year after Labour came into government, they increased every possible area that they could. That included alcohol, tobacco, and the list goes on. Madam Speaker, as I went through this budget presentation of 1998-99, it is just amazing to see the number of areas that they increased. But what is even more alarming, Madam Speaker, is apart from all of these increases, they left the country in the worst financial situation it had ever been in our history, with a debt of over $1.7 billion. So you ask yourself, Madam Speaker, if they raise all of this additional revenue, what happened? What did they do? And I gave you examples. When you can spend $200 million in cost overrun, you know what? You know how much that is going to impact your budget as a country? Because you're not getting anything for that money, you know, Madam Speaker. These are things you are supposed to get less that price. So you have the same thing, but you have spent $200 million more. And I heard the members opposite talking about mismanagement and recklessness on the part of this government. Madam Speaker, I challenge them, and some of them will speak tomorrow. I want them to come and show me one project done under this government where we have gone into cost overrun. Just one of them I want them to come and show us. And then we can begin to discuss the management of this economy. Now, Madam Speaker, the airport, which is one of the projects that they are opposing. And I was a bit taken aback, and I told the member for Castries East, Madam Speaker, as a former Minister of Tourism, to make a careless statement that whether visitors are coming to this country to see the airport. Madam Speaker, people don't come here to see your airport. People come here and they expect a facility that is going to welcome them. Your first impression must be a lasting impression. When we have people standing out after they've come out on a flight for 8 hours to come and spend money in our country, and we have a terminal building that cannot even accommodate them inside, that they have to line up outside, whether it's sun, whether it's rain, because the building can only accommodate a certain number of persons. Then you hear the opposition want to criticize this project. It's just like the Roseau Dam, the Millennium Highway, Romney Bay Marina. It's like every other project that they have criticized. But Madam Speaker, what I have learned about this Labour Party, Madam Speaker, is everything they oppose, you should do it because it's good for the country. That is how I read what they are doing. Anything they see that is good, they will come in opposition to it. And so as you go through and you realize the challenges, Madam Speaker, the TSA has visited us. They have concerns because of the security situation. Since after the Christmas time bombing that was attempted by this traveler, there are more stringent measures in terms of security. We have to upgrade our facility. We have done everything possible at Euronora International Airport to facilitate the people. And Madam Speaker, we have done more at this airport in 3 years than the Labour Party did for the full 9 years, Madam Speaker. And the evidence is there. We removed the restaurant from upstairs. We put a stairway. We created additional space. We relocated the restaurant to the other side. We have tried our best to manage. But Madam Speaker, our airport is outgrown. The number of persons coming, they have outgrown the size of the facility that we have. And if we have to remain competitive in this environment, then we must do something about it. What is also interesting in this budget presentation of 1998-99 was that the then Minister of Finance said that his government was moving strategically from an agro-based economy to a tourism-based economy. Yet still I had the members opposite. They were the ones who put agriculture on the back burner. They were the ones who broke the legs of agriculture and manufacturing, and they left this country standing on one leg, which is tourism. And when we make an investment in tourism, they turn around and criticize the investment. Now, Madam Speaker, si se a tu yo pie o kadubo, un pou vai pie a tout fos lai buzra, pou kadubo, because si pie a kase tout vai fini, it will take us some time before we can reposition the economy of this country to the point where we can depend on manufacturing and agriculture. So in the meantime, is tourism we have to take care of it. We don't have a choice. We cannot allow this country to collapse on us because of the mismanagement of a careless government who had no sense of direction where they were going to take this country. And Madam Speaker, my ministry, I mean, sometimes I wonder what the other government was doing. I wonder. I sit there and I try to understand, well, what is it they were doing? We have a transport licensing system that is so... I mean, when the survey was done, it was said it was less than 7% accurate. The government removed the responsibility of maintaining a register for vehicles from itself and gave it to friends that they had in the insurance council. And we know who's president of the insurance council. I know when I made my statement the last time I was in the Honorable House and I said they were selling the stickers. He came up to the lawn and challenged me. But I have the evidence, Madam Speaker, that the stickers that was given to them free of charge was being sold to the public. I have the receipts where, and I have the copy of the balance sheet which shows that the highest source of revenue was from the sale of stickers which was handed to them free of charge by the government. But Madam Speaker, it is so chaotic in the transport system today because people buy vehicles, they don't make change of ownership. You know, because you go, you pay your insurance, and you pay your license on fuel. So people have number plates on their vehicles. When you check the number, that doesn't apply to the vehicle. Madam Speaker, if we want to address the crime situation in this country, if we can straighten up what is happening in the transport system, it will help us considerably in reducing the criminal activity in this country. Because vehicles are used to commit crime. They have 6 number plates in the trunk of the vehicle. And sometimes, Madam Speaker, you innocently, they take your number and they put it on their vehicle. And the police come to your home and are saying, well, when we check the system, and the system and the ministry, we have had to engage the same friends that they don't want to hear about, the Taiwanese, to help us in the setting up of a new licensing registration system. And Madam Speaker, it is important. We have to re-register every vehicle in this country. Now we have people making big noise about the $150. Madam Speaker, they gave us a 6 for a 9 when they said they removed vehicle license. Because vehicle license was removed only on minivans and cars. All vehicles 3 tons and over were still required by law to pay a $300 license. So when the then administration said we remove vehicle license, That was not the truth, Madam Speaker. They removed it for a few people. So the person driving the truck wasn't buying diesel, Madam Speaker. Because you and your mayor have to fuel. A truck machine can't have fuel. Yet, you have to pay. You have to pay. You have to pay. Now, Madam Speaker, there are challenges with the system. And I understand the frustrations of the public. I understand the plight of the people in Viewport. And soon after the budget, we will be setting up an office in Viewport to assist the people so that they don't have to make two or three trips to the ministry. Madam Speaker, the amount of fraudulent licenses that is in the system, people driving out there, they don't have the appropriate license. They went through the back door, they bought some license because anybody could bring the ID card. We had to bring in a new license with certain security codes that only the police, when they stop you, they can check it out and see that this is an authentic license. We have to establish a system, Madam Speaker, so that when the police stop you, they can log into the system and see that the vehicle you are driving is actually insured and it applies to the person who is actually driving it. Madam Speaker, these are the moves being made by the ministry to help rectify the situation. And so I am appealing to the public. I know it is frustrating, but it is for our good, Madam Speaker. Because when you get into an accident with a vehicle who has no insurance, no license, nothing, you may take the driver and put him in jail, but the persons who are hurt, who compensates them? And so, Madam Speaker, anything we can do to rectify this situation, we expect the support of the entire country because it is vital for us to have a correct database so that when the police pulls you over, they can log in and say, yes, this is the right driver. This vehicle is covered by insurance. Now, when the police stop you, what they have to do? If it's the weekend, Madam Speaker, they have to wait on Monday morning to come up to the ministry, to come to an officer. Now, Madam Speaker, the previous administration will not speak about that. But back in 2001, they paid thousands of dollars to IC to set up a new system that never materialized. Today, through the assistance of the Taiwanese embassy, they brought all the technical people and they did it for us free of charge, Madam Speaker. That is where we are moving in the ministry. In terms of works program, Madam Speaker, never in the history of this country have we had so many local people employed by the Ministry of Communications and Works. Madam Speaker, they talk about foreign contractors. Ask them how many they have. They have Lagan, they have CCI, they have Josie, they have Gadatan. Madam Speaker, the only contractor who came on the scene in St. Lucia is asphalt and mining, and they did not employ a single foreigner to work here. They employed only locals to do all of the work that was done in St. Lucia. And they came in more as a financier. And they know that, Madam Speaker. The members opposite know that, but they will choose to deliberately mislead this country into believing. And Madam Speaker, they make an issue about what vehicle I drive and whether I have shares in asphalt and mining. Madam Speaker, I brought the certificate of the registration of asphalt and mining, which I can make a document of this honorable house to see that Guy Joseph does not appear anywhere on the registration document of asphalt and mining. Now, Madam Speaker, people will always speculate and take people representing you. The person they said that's representing me, and Madam Speaker, when the leader of the opposition spoke about that in this honorable house, I took his information to be true. When he said an individual by the name of Andre Edgar had 5% shares in asphalt and mining, and I repeated it because I did not believe the leader of the opposition would mislead the Honorable House. But the Honorable House was misled, Madam Speaker, because Andre Edgar does not appear as a shareholder. Andre Edgar appears as a part of another company, which is Papaya Holdings, and he has a 10% share of Papaya Holdings, which has a 5% share of asphalt and mining, which works out to be 0.5%. Madam Speaker, did something for me. I told them I'm not as naughty. Half a percent for two of us. Madam Speaker, when members who have been reckless and have wasted the resources of this country would want to make people believe things that are not true. And Madam Speaker, the record speaks for itself that this is the most effective budget. And Madam Speaker, as Minister, I am proud. I am proud of myself as Minister and my staff at the Ministry, because they are the ones who tell me, they are the ones who've been there longer than me, and they are the ones who tell me, Minister, that is one of the most effective projects we have executed in this ministry. I cannot remember the last time, that's what they said to me, I cannot remember the last time we executed a project that finished ahead of time and below budget, Madam Speaker. And that is why they want to deflect the reality of the project, because they cannot understand how every project under them went into so many millions of cost overrun, and every project we have handled it within budget. They say we're hiding the price, Madam Speaker. Now how can you hide the price? Now I know they used to hide the price. So that is why they think we are doing the same. They hide the price of Rochamel. That's why they came to the house so long after. They didn't tell us what we were getting into. Madam Speaker, you don't know a Jamasa. Rochamel said a Jamasa. Ek lenu vesakla, nu wesa jab kiada. Ek nu silkate eku jab lahodia. But that is what happens when you have people who don't have integrity managing the affairs of this country. Madam Speaker, I have a Prime Minister that I am proud of, and I can safely say from where I am standing here, my Prime Minister does not have a corrupt bone in him. Not a corrupt bone, Madam Speaker, because he stays far away, and he cautions all of us as his minister, do not do anything that will put this government in trouble. We must maintain a clean and impeccable record in office. And Madam Speaker, we have done it up to this point in time. Our records are good within the ministry. More than you have been here about new projects that you're not problematic. You can talk to sight, but nothing in reality. And so, Madam Speaker, my ministry must move on and execute the project. The HIA, construction of a new terminal building, installation of jet bridges, and construction of a modern tower. Madam Speaker, this project is needed. Every other airport around us is developing. Can we afford to stay behind? Sir John had the vision back then to establish Uranora International Airport, to build a terminal, and it served its time, and it served us well, and it is still serving us well. And I have to compliment the staff at HIA and Flagstaff, because they've been managing under trying circumstances. Madam Speaker, if you go down there and see the difficulties, counters there, people mix up. We cannot treat the people who come to our country in this way. And so that is why this project is important. Madam Speaker, when we did a survey, it is clear Barbados, who just built a new airport, is spending another $40 million to put jet bridges. Jamaica is spending money on the airport. Antigua is spending money. Even St. Vincent, Madam Speaker, they can afford to build an airport and a terminal. And we cannot afford to build a terminal. Now, Madam Speaker, you know what's killing them? They cannot understand how we will raise the money to build the airport without increasing the debt to GDP. But we have a lesson for them in dollars and cents. And when the final numbers come out, and when what the decisions will be made, when it is made for the implementation of this project, and they will understand the terms of financing, because you know what they think we are, Madam Speaker? They feel we are blockheads. We don't know about money. But you see, Madam Speaker, money sense is not in the intellectual ability You see, we have a lot of certificated people around us, but we don't have educated people. The true essence of education is the ability to apply the knowledge that you have acquired in a meaningful way. That is the true essence of education. So I'm not worried about those who say, I don't have. I have enough to get by in life, Madam Speaker. And I know I can make sensible economic decisions. And let me touch on the Dubai. Yes, we said Dubai was coming, and we were at an advanced stage in negotiations with Dubai. But what Dubai put on the table, maybe the Labour Party would sign it, but this government would not sign it, because, Madam Speaker, you know what they wanted? We hand over both ports to them. Now we are making over $10 million in the port. They wanted for the first 5 years, all the money from the port would go to them. But they were only spending $20 million in our port. So you know what they wanted to do? To take our $50 million, invest it in the port, and then they only 70-40. So I looked at the gentleman and I said, no deal. We're not making anything that is good. If you want us to go 70-30, everything we have already remains ours, and anything additional you bring, then we can split it 70-30. But whatever I have now remains mine. Because, Madam Speaker, I have a responsibility to the people of this country to look after their well-being and the generations to come. I will not sign something that will put the country further back than it is today. But they couldn't understand that. And so, yes, we made a lot of pronouncements that could not come to fruition, because some of the deals, if we have to sign deals like Rochamel, Madam Speaker, we were getting more than what we had in the budget. But you know what? You have ministers who scrutinize everything, and we look for every benefit to this country. And we believe that the generations coming after us, Madam Speaker, must have something to be proud of and something to inherit. And that brings me to the worst possible situation, Madam Speaker. We inherited a situation. The previous administration was giving our water sector away. That was a deal, Madam Speaker. And that was the retirement of some former ministers. And I know, because they used to call my ministry and try to influence the staff to tell them, speak to the minister and tell him go ahead with it. But you know what, Madam Speaker? I have a conscience. And I want, when I leave office, that I can look behind me and I can be proud of what I've left behind me, Madam Speaker. And so, we inherited a situation. We were dealing with international institutions, and we couldn't just close shop on everybody and turn our back. But God has always looked over this government. That is why we have weathered every storm successfully. And Madam Speaker, we did not create the avenue. The avenue was created. The opportunity presented itself so that we could get out of it and still maintain the integrity and the good name of St. Lucia. And the Prime Minister was right on the ball in making the right decision and directing this country in the water sector in the right direction. And Madam Speaker, when we face that drought, and I will tell you, I applaud WASCO for their good work. But there were some things I was not proud of. Because while we were talking about bringing water from Dominica, they were still selling water to the cruise ship. You know why? Because the cruise ships were buying water at $40 a thousand gallons, while the average citizen is paying $7.35 a thousand gallons. The hotels are paying $22. Yet still we were able to shut the pipes so that the average person could get and tell the hotels to truck water. Now I appreciate what the hotels did. And we know it was a difficult time for them. But they combined with us. We worked together and we were able to see it through this difficult time. Now Madam Speaker, if WASCO's deal had gone through as the previous government had indicated, 60% foreign owned and 40% local owned, who do you think the foreign company would sell water for? They would sell water for you at $7.35 and leave the cruise ship that's paying them $40. and the hotels are paying them $22. Madam Speaker, if there was one time when I laid on my bed, I felt good. Because things still trouble your mind after you make decisions. The drought happened immediately after we made that decision, you know. And that was a great lesson for me, Madam Speaker, because I realized if I was doubting myself, we had made the best decision. Because the crisis showed me that if water was not under the control of the government of this country, the average St. Lucian would have suffered much more than they suffered under this crisis situation. And so, Madam Speaker, we need to look after the interest of our people. We are elected to represent the people, Madam Speaker, and this government will not make a decision that will make the St. Lucian secondary class citizens in their own country. First priority will always be to our people. And that's what good governance is about, Madam Speaker. And so we move on. Madam Speaker, I'm trying my best to restructure the ministry. But our challenges, and I say something, sometimes I land into problems, but I don't mind. Our public service must change their attitude towards the public. Most of the problems we have in the ministries, people blame the ministers. Ministers can do that much. But we have lost the human touch, the human element of dealing with people. And we deal with systems more than we deal with people. And so nobody wants to go the extra mile to assist a traveler who comes all the way from Beaufort. And these are the problems that I have in my ministry. Madam Speaker, better can be done. It's under trying circumstances. There are some very good workers, Madam Speaker. They go out of the way to help people. But there are many people who are not pulling their weight. And this appeal is not just a criticism. It is a call that St. Lucia must unite and be more productive. Madam Speaker, if we cannot produce more, this country will collapse under us. We have a rising recurrent expenditure. Our growth is not measuring up, Madam Speaker. We need to be more productive in this country, Madam Speaker. And it is a production that is on the path of every St. Lucia. From the garbage collector to the prime minister, everybody must make a special effort to take this country out of the difficult situation that it is in. And so, Madam Speaker, I want persons to appreciate the difficulties that we have been through, Madam Speaker. And members opposite will try and spin. They will say all the things. Madam Speaker, the Castries redevelopment, the fourth redevelopment project, all of these are at an advanced stage. But when you get an agreement that does not meet all of your requirements, you have to review it. We are not going to sign a Rochamel. I will not be a part of a government that signs another Rochamel deal in this country, Madam Speaker. And so I need to say here that our plan for development will materialize. The world is coming out of the recession and we are seeing positive signs of growth. Consumption is on the increase. And as the member for Denry South said, look at the crisis, Madam Speaker. You know how many persons who have to be in St. Lucia who cannot be in St. Lucia because the planes could not fly? Immediately this has an impact on our tourism arrivals. It has an impact on the taxi drivers. And I heard the member talk about taxi drivers. Never before in the history of this country have taxi drivers been more busy than this period of time, Madam Speaker. Despite the downturn, our sales arrivals did not increase, but our cruise ship arrivals increased. They have to call the minibuses sometimes to help them when they had four or five cruise ships in the harbor, Madam Speaker. And so we understand the importance of every St. Lucian. And I have to compliment every good taxi driver and every good minibus driver out there who transport our people to and from work and who transport our visitors. And I want to give the minibus sector the assurance that the matters that they raised recently, Madam Speaker, all of them are in the pipeline to be addressed. Some of them are at an advanced stage, Madam Speaker. But I will tell you, all the threats made to this government, Madam Speaker, we have had more strikes in this government for 3 years against this government than we had for the last 9 years of the administration. Madam Speaker, we have to bring in firemen from outside to keep our airports open because some people believe that they want them to hurt the government. We have to understand, Madam Speaker, there are some decisions that will hurt the country more than it will hurt the government. And we must be careful when we make decisions in this country as leaders of whatever organization that it will redound to the benefit of all of us in the end. How much time do I have, Madam Speaker?
You have 35 more minutes.
Madam Speaker, in closing this presentation, I want to touch on the East Coast Road and the West Coast Road. And Madam Speaker, I am disappointed. I'm disappointed in me, and I'm disappointed in the contractor. But sometimes you get into situations that you never planned to be in. And I don't pass the buck, Madam Speaker. I am the minister, and I have the responsibility to see to it that this project is completed. If I had my way, I fired the contractor already, but I don't have the latitude to do so. Despite what they say about ministers, Madam Speaker, we have this project which has gone on for much longer than it should. Madam Speaker, this project is under the same financing arrangement with the Alan Bukke Highway. It was a direct award, design, finance, construct. It's at 7.5% interest. The Alan Bukke Highway was a design, finance, construct at 5.5% interest. You find it any wonder that there's so much attack on this Alan Bukke Highway, Madam Speaker? Because you look at the terms and conditions. The East Coast Road is a $42 million project. The Alan Bukke is a $12 million project. But here's the situation. Because the opposition brought the contractor on the East Coast Road into St. Lucia, they will... That's how they describe the road. And that's where I drive every day, Madam Speaker. And I can tell you the road is well done. But persons would use for their own political mischief to try and divert attention from the fact that roads are being done. And Madam Speaker, I intend to do something which I have not seen done in this country before. And that is to charge the contractor for every day that the project is incomplete. And so yes, we are spending a few more dollars. And I want this Honorable House to hold me accountable, Madam Speaker, for what is happening on the East Coast Road, because we have to hold people who come to our country and sign a contract and say, I will give you X for Y. We will not settle for X for Z. If you promise me X for Y, you have to deliver X for Y, Madam Speaker. That is what this government will demand. So if I was in charge of Blue Coral, somebody would have to answer, Madam Speaker. You cannot tell me you give me a project for $16 million, and now it's at $30 million, Madam Speaker. And so I will show them that on East Coast Road, that it will be pegged at the price that it is supposed to be. And every day I pay the consultant, Madam Speaker, they will have to pay for it. Madam Speaker, I applaud the Prime Minister for his presentation. I applaud him for leading this country in the right direction. And I know, Madam Speaker, come the next election, the electorate of this country will have no hesitation to return this government to the reins of power, because they would have been satisfied that we have represented the interests to the best of our ability and in the best interest of St. Lucia. I thank you, Madam Speaker.